Excellent. Thank you, Michelle. Friends, who in your life has helped your spirit to shine? I mean, they come into your life and they bring out the very best of you, the very best of the person that God created in you. Or on the other hand, on the converse, what are the factors of life that has caused you not to shine in life? What have you experienced in which self-consciousness has caused you to creep back away from going out and showing the world all the great things that God has created inside of you? Or when have you experienced the pressure of societal expectation that tells you, you know what, go back and just try to be and fit in like everybody else in the world? Cindy, my wife, was in an interview with a guy for her podcast, and the subject matter was trying to learn to fit into your own skin and live into your own skin. That was a couple weeks ago. And the podcast person she was talking to is a man named Chris Cox. Now, Chris, as he grew up in the city, was a really large man. He had big, broad shoulders, big, strong body. And so you looked at the guy and you're like, you know that this guy's going to be an athlete, right? And that was the expectation of him. I mean, that's what everybody in his neighborhood loved. They loved sports. And so he was kind of pigeonholed that you're going to be an athlete. And he was. He was a pretty good athlete. He played all the way up through high school and all the way through college, and he was great. But that was never his first love in life. His first love in life is something he kept hidden deep inside of him because he figured nobody else is going to understand this about me. He realized that the thing that he loved was something that the people in his neighborhood just didn't get. Nobody knew it. Nobody understood. He didn't even understand why he loved what he loved or where this love came from. But here inside this big, hulking man that was a big football star was a deep love for Japanese action cartoons. He loved artwork. And everybody told him, Chris, you got to be an athlete. You got to be a football player. You got to hit somebody. But all of the time, he said, man, what I really love, what really makes me come alive is art. He said, if I went and tried to talk to my buddies on the basketball court growing up about anime, which, if any of you heard about anime? I'm not real familiar with anime myself. You're familiar with it, Mike? I'm not familiar with it, but he said if I would have talked to my buddies about it on the basketball court, they would have kicked me off and laughed at me. See, I would have been an outcast in my community. Nobody loved that where I was from. But eventually, as an adult, he didn't really care what the world thought of him. They didn't care what expectations were placed upon him. And he simply pursued his love of art. Now, it's not that Chris doesn't like sports still. Believe me, on his podcast, The Multiple Podcast Disorder, he talks about sports most of the time. But his true love is artwork. And it's by embracing the person that God created him to be that Chris began to truly shine in this world. What self-consciousness has caused you to creep back inside yourself or to simply try to fit in and be like everybody else around you? What has held you back from being the person that God created you to be? Friends, it happens to the best of us. I've often wondered why Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old. It's not like people weren't suffering before he was 30 years old. It's not like as a young person or a person in his 20s, he didn't walk past people with leprosy. It's not like he didn't walk past people with incurable diseases that he knew he could do something about. Why didn't he heal any of them until he was 30? Or certainly the world all needed his direction. We were all lost and we were frankly less hopeful without him coming into the world and preaching to us. Why did he wait until he was 30? Certainly from the time that we left the Garden of Eden, we have all needed the salvation that he brought, and so why did he make us wait so long? I've often wondered, did Jesus perhaps doubt who the person was that God had created him to be? Did he ever doubt himself? If you go into that passage in which the devil tempts Jesus out in the desert somewhere, it certainly seems to suggest that the devil thought that it was possible that he would doubt who he was. And he tried to tempt Jesus to become something he was not. So certainly that was a possibility. But did Mary and Joseph, his earthly parents, never share with him the special circumstances about his birth? Or did perhaps his dad, being a loving dad, just not want to push his son into his mission before his son was ready to go? I don't know about you, but have you ever gone to a high dive? Has anybody jump off the high dive before in their life? Has anybody ever gotten up to high? When I've gotten to the edge of the board and I stand there, it's like it looks like a good idea until I get to the edge of it. And once I'm on the edge, I think twice. I was like, well, maybe this is just not the right time for me to jump. And then along comes that impatient person who sees me teetering on the edge and just comes up behind me and just shoves me off. I mean, that's not cool. I mean, nobody wants to be pushed into life. And so perhaps Joseph, as a loving father, knew the mission that was there before his son, but he didn't want to push Jesus into it. But he also probably thought it wouldn't be cool for Jesus to sit around on mom and dad's couch in his 20s playing video games. And so he gave him an occupation. He said, here, son, be a carpenter. And as he was becoming a carpenter, I often wondered to myself, did Joseph maybe give him the possibility of, you know what, if this thing over here of being our Savior just isn't for you, this life of carpentry isn't so bad either. You know, this job of being a carpenter has served us, our family, well. It's put food on the table for every single one of us. It's never going to get you into any trouble. You won't have to be far from home, and your mom won't have to worry about you if you just stay and work with me. Did Joseph ever feel that he needed to, he tried to convince Jesus to maybe be something that he just wasn't? I have no idea. I've not had that conversation with Jesus lately, and so I don't know if that was true at all, but if I look at the remainder of Jesus' life in the Gospels, you see constant pressures over and over and over again from the Pharisees, from Jesus' own family, and from Jesus' hometown, just to go back, step back away from the limelight. Don't you dare shine. Step back away from your leadership and just blend in and be like everybody else. I mean, when Jesus first preached his very first sermon in his hometown, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. His very first sermon in his hometown, there were murmurings in the crowd, and basically people were saying, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Isn't he Joseph's son, the carpenter? Isn't he just a carpenter too? See, what nerve do you have as a carpenter to stand up and to preach to us? Just sit down and fit back into the box that we expect you to fit into. Or years later, when Mary was getting pretty concerned about the path that Jesus was taking. Jesus was preaching and amongst a group of people. He had just gotten done healing a bunch of people. And Mary already was fearful about the dangerous path that Jesus was on because she knew that he had made some pretty powerful people angry. She sent his brothers into that gathering and basically said, just come home. Just come home. Stop doing what you're doing. Come home. It's safer to take the route with me. But Jesus couldn't do that. And even at the foot of the cross, in Mary's tears, I can hear her tears of regret that she wanted to save her son from this. That as he was nailed to the cross for our sake, Mary's worst fears were confirmed. His life's mission had led to this point. It was for this that he had come. That this was the person that God had called him to be. This was his mission. This was his purpose of being here. And he couldn't deviate away from it. But in her tears, you can hear the tears of any good mother that simply wants to bring their son home to a place of safety. Just come back home. Live a good life. Just be like everyone else. But Jesus couldn't do that. And friends, frankly, neither should any of us. We are created to shine. And so there comes this really strange passage of the Transfiguration, in which Jesus is up on top of a mountain, and there with his three disciples, James and Peter and John, his body begins to transform. His face transforms, his clothes turn a dazzling white, his face is like a flash of lightning. And in that moment, when we truly embrace the person that God created us to be, it's then that every single one of us shine also. Now, Moses, in that passage that we had earlier that Michelle read for us, Moses' calling was to go and be the person that saved God's people and led them out from a place of slavery to the promised land. But Moses didn't always want to follow that calling. For a period of his life, he ran away from his calling. He went to go live in the middle of nowhere, and he simply tried to blend in with everybody else around him. And as he blended in, trust me, he did not stand out. He wasn't shining in anything that he did. But God hadn't given up on him. He realized that Moses' mission was so vital to the world that we live in. And so God came to him in a burning bush, and finally Moses listened. He turned back around from that place of nowhere that he was, and he headed back to Egypt. And when he finally started pursuing the calling that God had placed upon him, he began to shine. He began to have the confidence and courage he never thought he would have, the eloquence of speech he never thought he was capable of. When he went and addressed the Pharaoh, he basically told the Pharaoh, he's like, listen, you need to let my people go. I know you like them being your slaves, but you know the time for us to leave has come. And you can fight against it, but I just want you to realize you're fighting against God, and you ain't going to win. And so Moses takes the people from that place of Egypt, and he comes full circle. He leaves from a place of nowhere, goes to Egypt, and he ends up back in a place of in the middle of nowhere. And he wanders there for 40 years. Can you imagine being lost for 40 years? It's unthinkable. And I'm certain that Moses probably thought to himself, goodness, my calling must not be to simply be lost in the world. And even though the people would remain geographically lost, Moses' calling was to help them not be spiritually lost. And over a period of time, he probably built up a whole lot of frustration working with the people because they were building golden idols. They were doing all sorts of things that would probably make any leader's life a very miserable existence. And so he went away from them all so he could go and spend some time with God. And he spent 40 days with God to simply remind himself of the person that God had called him to be. And there, as he was there with God, his face began to shine. Because again, he started becoming the person that God created him to be. In a place that had no order, Moses was called to bring order. In a place of spiritual chaos, Moses was called to bring spiritual direction. And down from the mountain he came. And when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining because he finally had embraced the person that called him to be, that God had called him to be. He had come to bring direction to people who had no direction. And when he handed over those Ten Commandments, did Moses' face ever shine so bright? Friends, I would think all of us want to figure out who God has created us to be. I think all of us want to shine in this life that we have been given. This is a great gift. We might as well shine while we're here. And along the way, we can deal with all sorts of self-consciousness that causes us to retreat. All these sorts of societal fears and expectations that tell us just to fit in and be like everyone else. And it can be rather frustrating along the way. When Jesus called those first three disciples, Peter, James, and John, he met them on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And he looked at their occupation. They were fishermen, and I think he realized, man, you guys aren't very good fishermen. You're mediocre at best. And when he looked at these guys, I think he realized what God has created you to be is bigger than the Sea of Galilee. And then years later, they were up on top of the mountain with him, and they were the ones that were there when he was transfigured. And so, my gosh, they didn't ever want to leave that place. And so they started building shelters, and they must have thought to themselves, our calling is to simply be monks and to worship God here on top of this mountain forever. But again, Jesus is frustrated with them because, again, they put their bar too low of the people that God had created them to be. And only by going down the mountain and going back into the world did they finally allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to begin to shine in their lives. And the gospel, my friends, is the love that lights the path for all people, for everyone. Our mission field is bigger than the Sea of Galilee. It's bigger than some little mountaintop here in the Montrose and Bath area. Our mission field is the world. Friends, don't be afraid of the person that God has created you to be. Because each and every one of us, we are made to shine. Amen. Friends, we've got two sacraments in the Methodist Church.